Blog Talk Radio.
DJ Death Row, live in the mix.
This is me against the world. In the loop, it's me against the world, baby. I got nothing to lose. This is me against the world. Back in the game, me against the world, baby. Can you picture my prophecy? Stress in the city, the cops are stopping me. The project's exploding bullets, so bodies is dropping. Ain't no stopping me, constantly moving while making millions. Witnessing killings, leaving dead bodies in the bed of buildings. Carries the children cause they're illin', addicted to killing. And the appeal from the gap villain. What I'm feeling, but will they last or be blasted? Hard-headed bastard, maybe you're listening to casket. The aftermath, more bodies being buried. I'm losing my homies in a hurry. They relocating to the cemetery. Got me worried, stressing my business.
ain't sleep in my bed. Everybody can't see up in my face. Everybody can't see all in my face. Now I might fuss a little bit, cuss a little bit, you know this, yeah. But if you trust a little bit, you gon' get 100%. I don't want nobody but you. Don't want nobody touching me, baby.
Elaine Lister took $60,000. For that, she faces prison. There are bankers, investors, who essentially stole billions, brought this country to near economic collapse. You know how many have gone to jail? Zero. None. All those perpetrators of the mortgage fraud that crippled our economy, caused financial ruin for so many, not one has even been prosecuted. But hey, let's get Elaine Lister. Consider the atrocities committed by the banking industry and the government. First, the deregulation of derivatives, which paved the way for those credit default swaps, leading to the great mortgage Ponzi scheme. Then, after those Wall Street thieves f***ed us all up the ass, can I say that? Those criminally incompetent hacks in Washington spent over $1 trillion in taxpayer money to bail them out, with no quid pro quo. No system put in place to track how the banks were to use that money. There were no requirements that they increase lending to consumers. Instead, they just stuck it in their own pockets, took more big bonuses, and as for the rest of us, right up the ass again. Throw them all in jail. How about the 10 worst offenders? How about one? No, not one. Not one. But hey, let's get Elaine Lister. Goldman Sachs deliberately duped clients, sold them lousy deals that their firm then profited from by betting against. That's criminal fraud. Jail? For anybody? Nope. But let's get Elaine Lister. Miss Mendelson says, watch out. We've got social unrest. Is it any wonder? These lugnuts in Washington nearly shut down the government because they can't pass a budget. Millions of Americans are going belly up. And what the hell do they expect? When a government acts to betray the interest of its constituents, civil disobedience isn't just a right, but a duty. Elaine Lister was making a point that day. She didn't wear a mask. She knew she'd get caught. She was in that bank to make a point. She's not a criminal. She is a hero. The outrageous government conduct defense is pretty simple. It applies when the government conduct is so outrageous that it violates fundamental principles of fairness to prosecute a defendant. If not now, when? Government. Hero. government hero. Government hero. That's your choice.
Foreclosure.
Okay.
We'll bring the hammer down on your debt by using Thor's strategies and tactics.
Okay.
Brother Sharif and Thor will educate you on the consumer protection laws, which will allow you to hammer away your debt. Get ready, reset, and restore with Thor Radio. Radio. Now, here is our own Brother Sharif.
Well, welcome. Welcome to Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Thor Ministry, a.k.a. Reality Radio, a.k.a. Beat Your Debt Collectors, with a Thor hammer, a.k.a. Free Your Mind Friday. We're back. We're live. First and foremost, myself, we, Thor, Rudy, Layla, Lori, always, first and foremost, gives all thanks to the Creator, the Mr. All-Powerful, All-Knowing, Everywhere Present Creator. As y'all know, Thor is not a religious group or religious society. We are very spiritual-minded. Individually, we may have religious preferences, beliefs, but they don't matter here. I want to give all thanks to all of our supporters and listeners that's tuned in to Thor Radio in the last couple of months. I want to let my host and my panel come in because I am doing a circus ball twirl right now, meaning I'm trying to multitask. So I'm going to bring in my lionesses, my Thorines, to come in and facilitate the show. And we'll get into some topics. Rudy, Layla, Lori.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning and welcome. Lori, if you will open up, as Brother Sharif said, and I didn't mean to cut across you. I guess I was so excited about getting that disclaimer out, so please go ahead.
I think that was Miss Layla, but I will go ahead and open it up and say happy Friday to everybody out there. And I have no doubt Brother Sharif can balance all the balls in the air. As women, we know how to do that. We know a man can do it too, I believe. And I am looking forward to us discussing all the wonderful topics we've got set out for today, and it's going to be a great show. Roll that disclaimer.
All righty then.
Greetings, everyone. Thor's disclaimer is that the information provided and discussed on this show is not and will not be considered legal advice. There are no attorneys, bar members, or any private legal groups associated with the show. So please be informed to thoroughly research the information provided prior to taking any action. Back to you, Rudy.
Well, I want to say again, good morning and welcome to everybody. Happy Free Your Mind Friday. As you know, every day I try to give a little word or something for encouragement. And today our word is chain, C-H-A-I-N. And for our definition today, a chain is a series of things linked, connected, or associated together. And that is for the purposes of strength, support, and endurance. We know that depending on how strong the links are in the chain will sometimes determine the amount of force or stress needed to break or weaken the chain. Now, on the other hand, if every link in the chain can withstand a strong force or a quick snap, then the entire chain is long-lasting. But if just one link is weak and gives way under force, stress, or duress and breaks, then the whole chain is weak and may break, and all efforts that have been put forth may be destroyed. Most often, the weak link is what is looked for in our paperwork when we have written and submitted to the court. And we are sometimes not able to overcome that infamous 12B6, and that is the failure to state a claim for which relief can be granted. Now, with that being said, once you know what the weak link is, and it is pointed out and corrected and enhanced, then you can significantly improve the entire assembly of the chain once those weak links have been made stronger. On Saturday, tomorrow, Thor University will embark upon forging together another link in the chain of success. This class will be taught by Brother Sharif. Why don't you strengthen your weak link and become part of a strong, flexible chain? Please join us. I believe Ms. Layla has the spreadsheet for tomorrow's class and the synopsis, and she'll talk about that.
Absolutely. I will. It's really, really an honor. I'm very humbled to speak to the Thor family. Today's obviously Free Your Mind Friday, and we aim to free our mind. That's what the Thor University will be allowing us to be able to do, is to go in and execute certain processes so that we can free our mind and therefore free other circumstances, because it starts in the mind. You know, when we talk about the class that Thor is going to be promoting or be actually providing, they're promoting it, but we're providing, it's going to be really, really incredible. And I bear with me for 1 second. I had it, and it is not right in front of me. So I will, here it is right here.
I know one of the things that I believe is going to be covered tomorrow is complaint drafting. Is that right?
Right. That's correct. Complaint drafting, that's really crucial. I mean, that is the first step in bringing your suit forward and making sure that everything is going to be included in that. And the writing of that, the drafting and the writing is inclusive in the class that's going to be held Saturday and Sunday. It is a two-day class. And can you imagine, you know, we talk about the legal profession that has spent all of these years going to school. Obviously, you have post-secondary education that would comprise of a bachelor's degree. And then we're talking about going to law school. And then sometimes you have some of these internships. They have to be able to they handle and work in the internships usually while they're studying for the bar. Then they have to go past the bar. And obviously, they have to get practical experience. What we're talking about is, and we're talking about as we're going to use the term lay people, you know, pro se is considered the lay people going in against this establishment that has all of these credentials already in place. So Thor University is the format in which you can learn how you can be prepared to stand tall, strong, and firm against this establishment to win, utilizing the FDCPA, utilizing the federal consumer protection laws. I mean, there are several of them dedicated based on certain scenarios, but the basis is the FDCPA. We are learning how to establish our complaints and put them in writing. And then we're going to, Thor is going to be talking about filing the lawsuit and what exhibits are required or necessary to be placed along with the lawsuit. Filing, because I think that's really important. My knowledge base is growing very rapidly, but the limited amount of knowledge that I have at this point makes me to realize that it's really, really important how everything is set up. I'm just going to digress for a moment. I'm going to come back. It's just, you know, there's a saying, when you start something, you need to begin with the end in mind. So, you know, just think about this. You know, anybody that has a debt collection issue and you know that, you know, you haven't settled anything out with a potential debt collector or that's posing to be the creditor, you need to be imagining, you need to be seeing the theater, the production played out in your mind so that you know what the end is going to be like. And that's what Thor brings to the Thor family. Getting everything in place so that when you stand in that courtroom setting, it's really like a theater production, and you're an actor in the production, and you are orchestrating. Or if you're in a band, you know, I used to play in the band, you know, or if you're in the chorus, if you're in the drill team, whatever, you're going to have a conductor, and you are playing the part in that orchestration. So when you see yourself in this situation, then what Thor is going to be offering in these classes is going to be able to open everything up for you very clearly and plainly and help you to move and bend. You know, I believe, I'm a firm believer that we are given the desires of our heart, and the universe will bend to give us the desires of our heart. So when you put yourself in the environment that allows you and arms you with the knowledge that you need, then all the magic, if you will, if you want to call it that, all the power and the glory and the wisdom will transform into you to make things happen. So back to what I was saying, the lawsuits, filing the lawsuits and the exhibits that go along with it, pleading, the federal rules of procedure. I have started reading the rules of procedure, and I can tell you guys, it's, to me, it's not an easy read. I mean, it's an easy read from a standpoint of reading, but it's a, you have, it's a laborious reading, and you have to stand, you have to sit there and think about it. I mean, if you want to skim through, you have quite a few pages to skim through it. But I can tell you guys, I started reading it this last week, and I can tell you, it just conked me out. Found myself reading, and next thing I know, I woke up because it was just so much overload of information with the fact that Thor, Brother Sharif, is going to bring to us through Thor the pleadings and the federal rules of procedure. I mean, that is a godsend. And from my perspective, that's a godsend because he knows how to break it down in simple form. You know, we got to read all of these terms and got to define these terms, and it's very laborious. So to me, the course in itself that's being offered this weekend is definitely worth it to have Brother Sharif help break that down for us. And then the other area that Brother Sharif will be covering will be the motions to dismiss. You know, this is regarding the opposing parties, because we know that when these complaints or the filings of these lawsuits are entered, you know, they're gonna 12b6 it, you know, before you know it, because they think it's a frivolous case. And Brother Sharif is going to teach us how we are going to need to deal with the motions to dismiss. We already know they're coming. So how best, like I said, to be armed, knowing what's going to be happening, how things are going to be laid out, so there's no surprises. There are no surprises. And when there are no surprises and you can see the way things are going to be set out, then it's just a walk in the park. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't know about you guys, but Laurie, Rudy, I mean, I think that's a walk in the park. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so glad you were, like, interjecting, Laurie and Rudy, because I'm, like, sitting here thinking to myself, right on, Layla, because what a better way, especially, like, if you're intimidated moving forward, if you're new to the venues or new to this, or you're just, you know, maybe you're leery of court anyway, but, you know, every plan of attack comes with a plan, and you do have to think about it strategically. And the best way to do that, I mean, knowledge always arms you with, you know, dissolving any kind of fear. But whenever you're putting your plan together, if you will, or your claim, you know, your complaint, if you kind of, if you're able to set it up from A to Z, and you're able to be proactive with already knowing, okay, if they do this, I do that. All right, if they move here, I move there. If I move here, I'm wanting to direct them to move there. And it allows you to have that mindset of the fluidity that you are trying to create to get the results that you're there to get your remedy. And they're not able to catch you off guard, and then, you know, your days expire and you've already just, you know, missed the whole boat totally. And just armed with that knowledge is incredible. And these are things, you know, speaking of this webinar and the different teachings that has been offered in the past, you know, people that go to law school or paralegal school, which is extremely expensive, but, you know, they teach them a lot of the surface things, and they never teach them the in-depth strategy behind it all. And that is something that is priceless, absolutely priceless.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, Rudy, when you think about the classes that are going to be offered, now for people who have never engaged in the court system at all, this is going to be a real eye-opener, because it's like a master game of chess or something. And like it was mentioned, that Laurie mentioned, what do you do when they do whatever it is they do? And if you're going to sit down and begin to write this complaint and you're the one who's directing, so to speak, a theatrical performance, as you mentioned, you're in a great situation when you can sit down and put pen to paper and orchestrate what you want to happen, because you will no doubt come up against that 12B6. Well, I want you to know that that is a severe, serious training that is given on how to do the 12B6. There's so many things that you can get that 12B6 on. So when you get a class on how to draft and how to write, you're going to be overcoming that which you suspect is coming at the is down the road, more or less. You know the 12B6 is going to come if they can possibly pull it off. But if you've got a class and you write and you draft and you put pen to paper, you put your thoughts down, you put down all the things that need to be put down, you're in a great position because you have been, as people used to say, you're driving the wagon or driving the car. You're the one that's in control. And I think it's going to be phenomenal. I have, unfortunately, walked through some of these situations. I've been in court, and it is a theatrical performance, and unfortunately, you're the newest member of the cast, okay? And everybody knows what to do but you, and it's really not a good feeling. But when you can get a class like this and know what you need to know going in, it's going to be fantastic. We sometimes think about those two young men who come on. Maynard. I mean, can you just imagine how confident they are going in? Because so, I mean, I can't say enough about it, but I'm excited about it, and I know that it's something that's needed, and it's been needed for a long time. So I look forward to that myself.
You know, it's so funny, Rudy and Layla, that this thought just came to mind. I just have to share this with everybody because it's so funny. Both of y'all keep referring to it as, acting on a stage and it's a theater or production or whatever. And just a little known fact, whenever you look up a court, of course, they always use actors in the terms of describing everyone. They're actors, right? And but when you look up the court, in the tax records but the business entity records, and it describes what kind of business it is, it says theater production. Just a little known fact there. Isn't that funny?
So
put your wig on and get ready.
Make it happen.
Yeah, it's like, go ahead.
But you know something, everything is procedure. I mean, because once you go in and you sit down, when it's time for the judge to come in, it's a procedure. All rise, do this, do that, do the other. It is a performance, so to speak. And they are very well rehearsed because they go to school, they get trained. I think I've heard Brother Sharif say they have counseling classes, they have acting classes, they have this, they have that.
Yeah.
They know when to hold and when to fold. Yeah, and then again, like I'm saying, you're the person, the new member of the cast coming in, and if you've never been there and you don't know what to expect, you're in awe. You can get caught up in the theatrical background, so to speak, of all the things that are going on in there, and you forget why you're there and what you're supposed to be doing there.
You know what? That's very true. But, you know, whenever they're doing, like while I was speaking earlier, and I had to kind of quickly mute, I had a distraction on my hand. But whenever you're in there and or going through the paper wars in Fed court, what they are really skilled and trained on when they go through law school is procedure. They know that's where their skill set is, procedure. And, that's how they try and beat everything is on a technical error. And, however, but what we have learned, in which you'll find quickly that out that they are not skilled in, is the laws, the statutes. And we have gone over that. I mean, you would be surprised at how many lawyers or attorneys that I've encountered that have not one clue about the FDCPA. Or the TCPA, and usually that's in because, like when you open up Yellow Pages, everyone is, you've got your bankruptcy lawyer or your family law lawyer or your this lawyer or your that lawyer, and they just stay in their one little corner, and then they've got their paralegal sitting out there doing all the typing for them. So so they really kind of get their education and stop at that and just kind of stay abreast of stuff. But they're really not skilled at all the stuff that, that we've been learning, you know, at Thor. And whenever you couple that with what is going to be taught in this four-day webinar, seminar, strengthening series that's about to happen, man, I mean, that is some rock and roll power right there, you know. That is powerful, powerful. You outweigh
well,
them.
Yes, it is.
And,
yeah, I'm really excited about it because, you know, when I first met Brother Sharif, I mean, the words out of my mouth, the first words out of my mouth was, I am not ready to go to court. Now, your family, you're new to this call. You know, I've been down the road. I've viewed every process. I didn't participate in every process that's out there, and I'm familiar with a lot of the processes that people have done for themselves. I've heard through, you know, I've heard, which is hearsay, by the way. I'm making sure we use the right terms. But I've been on the calls. We had an individual that got on the call and said that, you know, he knows people that have gone to jail for some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
We had people that got on the call and said that their stuff was right outside there. They just had stuff thrown out on the street in a debt collection issue, and which obviously we realized that is not allowed through the consumer protection laws for property to be seized, but that's a whole other issue right now. But the point that I'm making is that through this journey of mine, I realized that I needed to find the way. And when I met Brother Sharif, I didn't even know him. I'm like, he's the one. That's the one. That's the process that I need. He's the one I need to follow. And it just look where we are right now today, which is an amazing story in and of itself. But the point is that using the consumer protection laws, using the law that's already intact and in place and using it against them is a win-win situation. There has to be no fear. But like I told him, I said, I'm not ready to go in court. And obviously, I didn't know anything. I had zero knowledge. And if you hear me today, you can probably hear the confidence in my voice, the glee in my voice, the glee in my heart, because I see closure to this. I finally see closure to this. And I'm so excited, and you should be excited too, and you should be jumping on board saying, where can I sign up? I have no clue about, you know, if there's space available or not. I have no clue about that, but you should definitely, definitely be there. And if there's anybody that you know, they definitely need to be there because this, to me, is the way. This is obviously there are many ways, but if you're looking, and we've talked about this, if you're thinking you're dealing with a mortgagee, I'm getting all tongue-tied. If you think you're dealing with a mortgage servicer, if you think you're dealing with a mortgagee, you think you're dealing with a lender, you think you're dealing with a creditor, you are not. 99.999999% you are not. Okay? And so, therefore, if that's the case, then this is the route you need to be in. Because the likelihood of you winning the other way, thinking that they are, your creditor, your lender, your mortgagee, your mortgage servicer, you likely will not have success.
Well, that goes right back into the whole deal of the conversation that we were talking about just a minute ago, the actors and acting participators in the court. And whenever you take your complaint in there, it's all, and or they take their complaint in there, that is the script from which the judge is viewing the play or the scene from, if you will. So whenever you take a complaint in there and you name a J.P. Morgan or a Wells Fargo or something as the mortgagee or the owner of the note and the holder and all that kind of stuff, he'll see that character as that character. That's the cowboy riding the white horse. He doesn't see it as, that's the monkey riding on the turtle. And you've got to tell him, no, that's the monkey riding on the turtle. You know, he's trying to say that he's the guy on the white horse. No, he's the monkey.
Yeah, and the Lone Ranger.
You, Right, and the thing is, if you do that complaint wrong, like she says, that's your script. If you do that complaint wrong, sometimes it's almost impossible to turn it around. Once you put it down there and you've signed it and you've submitted it and you've executed it, that's it. That's why it's so important to know how to do it. A lot of time we know exactly what happened. As was stated, we've looked up some of the laws. We know what was broken and first one thing and then another. We don't know how to put pen to paper to put that complaint together to say, I am entitled to relief. These are the laws that were broken. This is my damage. We don't know how to do that. And that's one of the reasons I see a lot of people just losing on the first entry of the going through the door. They've already lost because they didn't know how to put that paperwork together.
That's right. That goes back to, you know, you got to be able to think about what you want in the end, and all of that's got to be put up front, and so that everything is orchestrated and played out according to that playlist. The complaint is like the playlist, you know, it's the directory. And that is what Brother Sharif is masterful at, and that's what you need. And that's I can't say it any more than that. I've had enough time to be on in his presence, you know, through the broadcast that we've had, some of the side conversations that we've had, and the man is brilliant. I mean, just brilliant. I mean, obviously, this is something that the consumer protection laws have been on the books since the 1970s, but that intellectual property, if we talk about that, the way that mind works, and, you know, Rudy, you mentioned about a chess, because I was going to say this is like a chess game. For those of you who are chess players, when you're talking about, you know, being able to think 3, 4, 5 moves ahead of them and know which way they're going to come, he's masterful at that. And,
that's right, and producing the outcome.
Correct. And that is definitely what you want on your side if you really, 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 really are serious about wanting to get what you say you want, you know, because we hear, we talk to people. I talk to people throughout the week that tell me what's going on with their situation, and, you know, either they're very serious and they'll get on the call, or they'll aim to do a consult, or they'll, you know, work to get educated so that they can act. But if not, then they're not really serious. And that's what we're about. We're about dealing with people who are serious and ready to take action. And
doing things the right way.
Correct. And doing things the correct way. And we're coming together in a common unity. I love that word. But in a mastermind situation like we're in right now, to be able to bring it forth. And we get to lock arms with each other and make each other accountable. And we press forward together, individually in our own right, but together locked arm in arm in the cause to be able to gain and win victory in our individual situations. So that is, you know, definitely something that you definitely need to take action on today. So with that being said, you know, free your mind. What do we have? Does anybody have anything good they want to talk about? Let me just finish this thought, because I think it bears in mind. I am reading a book by Napoleon Hill, and it's The Law of Success. I've never, besides a textbook, haven't read a book this thick, but there's something that's appropriate in this, and the section in this book is entitled Imagination, which is really something that I talked about a little while ago. And he's telling a story in this book, and he's talking about how when you use your imagination, that is, you have to have a purpose. You have to have a specific purpose. And when you have a specific purpose, then what you do is you use your imagination to play out that script we're talking about and create that theater in your mind about what you want to be the outcome of what it is that is your definite purpose. And he's telling a story about this individual. I'm not going to go into all the details, but he's just telling a story about this individual who he was asked to speak at some prison. And he sees somebody that he knows and respects who happens to be in prison. But he made a decision that he's going to get him out of prison. And the guy told him, no, he can't. So many other people have tried to get him out, and he wouldn't be successful. He ends up getting the man out of prison, but he's talking from a salesman perspective. So I don't want you to get a little confused about what I'm going to say, but the point is that whatever you put your mind to, you put some imagination back of it, and you press forward with it, you'll get the result of what you need. And he says that to understand the truth is to understand how to present your case. Whether you're asking for a release of a man from prison in this case or offering for sale. So what are we talking about? You know, to understand the truth is to understand how to represent our case in court. I just substitute that, in court. Okay, and in your own imagination, so plan your presentation of your case that the strongest and most impelling advantages are made plain. And that's what Thor does. Thor makes things plain, and that's what this Thor University will be this weekend. And I guess that I implore you to take advantage. Okay, Lori, back to you. I'm sorry.
No, I love that story, and I agree. I think that's part of the underlying current with everything is keeping things simple. I know a few shows back I read to you, you guys, the Art of War outtake, from Sun Tzu, which was a great warrior, and his whole method to his madness was, basically taking the path of least resistance, letting water reach out into the low-lying areas. Water doesn't reach to the high. It takes the path of least resistance. And so, and then I love the fact that you were talking about imagination. I know with my kids, I encourage imagination greatly. I mean, y'all all know me personally, so you know how my mind works, and I'm down with some imagination. And I just think that's a beautiful thing to exercise your mind in that way. And when you take imagination and you break it down phonetically, it's basically saying I'm a genie. So you can, that's kind of how I express it to the kids. You can what you can imagine, you can create, but you're the bottle that you have to rub, to make these things happen. So I love that you shared that. But yeah, I was just wanting to some of the news stories that are rolling around out there. I wanted to throw one out there and see what y'all thought about this. Here this past year and part of last year, there was a lot of supposed suicides with all the bankers, right? We all know about that. And just the other day, there was another one from J.P. Morgan Chase, which was a young couple that had moved to New Jersey. So if everybody can keep them in their minds and hearts, I don't know what went down with that. But anyway, it was a murder-suicide out there in New Jersey, and they had just moved here and bought them a brand-new home, $600,000 home in May of this past year. And so it looks like another one of the J.P. Morgan crew has mysteriously disappeared. And this couple just moved from London. They were, they were new residents, not only to New Jersey, but as well as America. But what are y'all thoughts on that? Isn't that crazy?
Well, if you think about,
if you think about it,
if you are embarking upon a new life and you leave anywhere, so you're saying they left one country to come to another, you've made your plans for your future and you're thinking positively. So you move here, you get a wonderful home and whatever. I don't think you'd be planning suicide. And myself, this is just me. I don't think you'd be planning suicide. In that manner.
Exactly.
That's my point. It doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm. It's just like the guy who killed himself with the nail gun, that was a part of that. I think wasn't that one earlier this year, and he had shot himself like 19 times. I don't remember the number, but it was something crazy. He had shot himself multiple times with a nail gun. I know after I shoot myself one time in the toe with a nail gun, you can forget it. I'm aborting. abort.
you know? Man.
Mission over before it was accomplished.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of those deals, what am I saying, good decision, bad results, man. It ain't working out. For nobody. And then the other thing I wanted to throw out there for you guys is, which we were talking about last night all together, but I wanted the Thor family to get a chance to look it up, is the FCC got involved and did an amicus brief in a case on the TCPA ruling that got overturned. You guys out there, insidearm.com, inside, I-N-S-I-D-E, arm, A-R-M.com, gives really great articles and good reads, just to kind of keep you abreast of the industry. But the case was overturned on the debt collector in favor of the plaintiff, our guy, the debtor, if you will. And anyway, the FCC did a fabulous brief. It had some really great read in it, but it was about providing your number to a debt collector. And they clarified it that if the phone number is not given during the transaction that the resulted in the debt owed, that is not express consent for them to be able to call your phone. And that's the whole deal. Part of the tandem of the TCPA is the prior express consent that that they claim that's given in order for them to be calling your wireless number. So I thought that was a really a great ruling and a great brief, and I just wanted to throw that out there for everybody.
That's awesome. You know, here we are talking about debt collectors, and we're talking about lenders, debt collectors, and you know, how do we make the determination between the two? You know, we're taught by Brother Sharif to identify, you know, and some people are still having issues with that, and how do we go about identifying? Well, here's an article. This is something else to consider. This article talks about fake debt collection scams. Okay, so there's a third tier where you've got these fraudsters that are running debt collection scams, and they appear to be broadening their tactics for extracting money from victims. Okay, you know, so there are hundreds of complaints about these fake debt collection scams, and you know, that's been going on a lot this year. Many of these scammers call and harass workers and families of the intended victim, as well as the victims themselves.
I wish they'd call me.
Yeah, really. Hey, Brother Sharif.
Hey,
Judah's in the house.
I wish they'd call me because I'll take the scammers to court, too.
Really?
I got
nice
resources.
Thanks.
I can find out who they are real quick.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man. And they're calling them at the workplace, you know, and they're told to stop and they're not stopping. So they're just wanting to make everybody aware of this. So, again, we have to identify and go back to what sports training, you know, identify, know who you're talking with, and put them in their place.
Yeah, they depend on the honesty of the people. And, you know, they call and everybody always recognize their debts, although many of them don't know how to spell the word debt or know the legal definition of a debt. But because we have some memory and recollection of some transaction we engaged in, as soon as someone calls, we acquiesce. We're so conditioned. This is a byproduct of public schooling and, you know, public colleges and, you know, wholesale slavery education, you know. Admit to everything. Tell, you know, do what you're told. Do what you're asked. And everything will be okay. So, you know, that's why the scammers are jumping on the debt collection industry, because it's thriving right now. So what better way than to mimic the people that are depositing a nickel and getting out $2 or $3. I think if I was a scammer, that's what I would do too. Seems to be easy, you know. Similar to the IRS saying that, you know, they gave out $50 billion in fraudulent tax returns. All someone has to do is get your name and Social Security number, and they'll gladly go ahead and file some returns for you. and gets the money based on the fraudulent returns. So they said the drug dealers on the street have given up pushing cocaine and heroin, and they just jumped on the IRS scam because it was easier than taking candy from a baby. This is what the law enforcement and the Internal Revenue Service and the Justice Department said, that the drug dealers, the street-level guys, are not selling drugs because that's too risky. And they're instead doing white-collar crime. I don't know why they call it white-collar, but white-collar crime, and they're basically, you know, doing the Internal Revenue Service scam. You know, I mean, how many times do we go to the dentist's office or go to a school and, you know, just give out our Social Security number, date of birth, address, banking account information, and everything, you know, so easily. So why not the $10 an hour clerk? Why shouldn't she sell your information to a scammer for $2,000 or $3,000 and let them file some returns and get some other consumer benefits from you freely, negligently, and recklessly giving out your information? So, yeah, you're going to have those scammers around because the people are just not educated, and this is what Thor is here for, is to educate the people and teach them that that information is not yours and is not yours to give out, especially to certain people. But everything in his life is conditioning. Mainstream media is conditioning. One other thing, when I want to talk about the corporate news media, is that I was reading some articles. I don't know where I was reading. And I was just looking over some information, and I came across some information about Skype. I don't know why it popped up. It was an article, and I clicked on it, and I had no idea that Microsoft had purchased Skype. Let me make sure. I think it was Skype. Yeah, I think it was Skype.
Yes, it is. It is. I believe
and
so.
I said I had no idea that they purchased Skype. So there's a lot of things that goes on when you think that you know it all. You're just learning how these corporations just gobble up corporations. Also, I was reading that there was a lady that gave a heroin needle to one of the Google executives and killed him on his yacht. I believe he died. And she was a hooker. And, you know, there was video cameras on the yacht, and she gave him, a shot of, sounds like what he normally gets, or I don't know whether he was, I don't know. I don't know if she just gave it to him because for the first time, sounds like, you know, he kind of engaged in those practices, and she gave him one that, you know, he didn't wake up from. And, you know, just a lot of weird things going on with people that are in power. And I also read an article the other day that one of the judges in the UK said that, you know, incest is okay now. He says that, you know, the only worry, the reason why incest was a crime, was due to the birth defect that it would cause. But he says we have abortion now, so that should cover that. Incest should be okay. This is one man that thinks he is responsible for making decisions of a world, a country, a group, a line of people. I don't know who he makes decisions for, but the abuse of power in this country is just gotten to a point where it's just disgusting, to where people think that they run people, they own people. They talk to you. I mean, you know, I have a good friend of mine that, you know, that in a lot of legal definitions, the word person and individual, there is information out there, and you can read it yourself, that delineates to the fact that, you know, they consider certain people or persons or individuals animals. And that is true. I mean, you have to really know who you are and what they're calling you, and not answer to or answer anything that you don't want to answer unless you know that you have to answer it. A lot of power playing going on in the world, a lot of single-minded people that has the same human anatomy and parts that I have think that they make decisions for this country. Incest is okay, and, you know, one judge, you know, had a 14 or 15-year-old that, you know, not the judge, but he ruled on the case. The guy was, you know, sleeping with the girl, and he kind of was looking at 20 or 30 years. The judge gave him 30 days and says, well, the girl was kind of partially to blame too. And the interesting thing about these things that I'm mentioning is abuse, okay? Abuse of power. And we understand the power that you have, and you think all the power is in someone else. These are the type of mistakes you make when you're demanded your Social Security number or when a debt collector calls and you're able to be scammed. You know, this is because you don't know your power, okay? So you don't understand your power. So the funny thing about, not the funny thing, but the ironic thing about this judge that sentenced this guy to 30 days and the girl went and killed herself because they found out that she was sleeping with this guy and she went and committed suicide. You know, and God bless her, because it wasn't worth that, but to her it meant a lot. And he gives this guy, this judge, who probably participates in the same type of activities for him to sanction that kind of stuff, and he sentences this guy to 30 days. Well, the prosecutor gets all up in the air about it. But this is where I tell you the abuse of power kind of smacks even those in power that want to create some buffer between their responsibilities and obligations to the people and want to sort of be claim this immunity, okay? And understand that immunity is based on a capacity, okay, not you just being a person that is immune from everything that you do. But, you know, in this particular case, when this judge sentenced this guy to 30 days, the prosecutor's like, no, he's supposed to get 30 years. So he tried to get involved, and, of course, the same rules apply. That judge is just like, I got immunity. Look, you can't question my decision. Like, my decision is my decision. So they couldn't do anything with it. They went to the appellate court, I believe. He's trying to fight it. But, see, when I look at that, it's just like, you see, so you're always trying to create some window for yourself. But then when you get one of your own that's a rogue, okay, that's doing things against, you know, the law, so to speak. Well, he's doing what's within his power. When he does it to the people, it's okay. But when he does it to you, and you can't find a way because you created the immunity for him, then there you go. Now you can't do anything with him. So, you know, it's a lot of things going on in the world.
Amen to that.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the class.
I'm
sorry.
No, I was just going to say, China purchasing U.S. real estate. You know, we were talking about that just the other day. I was saying, you know, China in the house up there in Michigan, U.S. real estate jumped 72% as China facilitates the hundreds of the lottery.
He's connecting me up with him later.
Uh-oh.
Okay, say that again.
I was saying China purchases of U.S. real estate jumped 72%.
Yeah, I was reading that as well.
Yeah, as the Bank of China facilitates some money laundering.
Yeah, they're buying a lot of real estate in California.
Yeah, they are.
Cash.
Nice, right? Yeah.
And they say they're not even worried about the average American because these sales by the sales that are being generated by the Chinese are cash. They're averaging about over $500,000, and the average American can't afford that anyway. So they're catering specifically to these people.
And did y'all read that article where I had glanced over it, and I really didn't give it much, you know, because you have to understand a lot of news out there. I mean, of course, I focus more mainly on alternative news and articles, but there was a article out there saying Egypt overnight had jumped their gas prices, you know, their sale of oil. I think it was like 78% or 80% or something. It was somewhere along there. I don't know. It was a few days since I've read the article, and I'd, you know, put it in the back of my head. And my husband comes home yesterday, and he says, man, what happened to gas prices? He said, it went up 30 cents. And I was like, what? Have y'all noticed that in your areas, a gas spike?
Well, in what time period? Was that overnight?
Yeah. It was just this week.
Okay, because I noticed that they're higher, but I haven't noticed about how many. You know, I noticed it higher, but I haven't noticed what they were before because I already had, you know, I always fill up.
Had some gas.
But yeah, when I'm out, I go. I fill up, and then I go, what, maybe a week, and then I go back again. So I haven't noticed it totally. You know, there's a modification scams going on, guys. You know, so, you know, we just have to be really, really careful about what we're doing. I know that when we talk about modifications, we know that, you know, if you have to do a modification, then, you know, to get some stall, we understand that. But then learn your consumer protection laws so that you can actually bring, potentially bring a suit that will get you out of that situation. Because don't forget, you know, we're dealing with debt collectors, and you don't make a deal with the so-called, with the devil, really. You don't make a deal with the devil. They're like the devil. They are the devil. They're buying these debts, you know, they're buying defaulted debt. They're buying a loan of some sort where they're paying pennies for it on the dollar, and then they're making you think that they are the lender, and that now they're coming to you. If you have a $100,000 loan, they're going to put all the back charges. We don't even know how they come up with those charges. And then they say, okay, $120,000 potentially with back fees and interest and all of that. And then they're putting you on a new loan with a new start date. And sometimes they're going 40 years. So if you've been in it for 10 and now you get another 40-year modification, now you're into the loan for 50 years. I mean, think about that. Now, I understand if that's the only thing that you know to do, then obviously do it, but then definitely get yourself out of there. But there's all kinds of things going on even with modification scams where they're having you to put up money and not getting anything out of it. I personally, in the very, very beginning, that's what I did. I paid these people money because I was too busy to even worry about it. They had me thinking that they were going to work on my behalf, so that I could go out there and do the things that I needed to do, only to find out that this institution that I thought was my lender, my alleged lender, which I realized they were not, but I was looking to do that, and they decided that they wanted to pursue a foreclosure action against me, and I'm like, why is this happening?
That's what it's for.
Yes, I realized that. I didn't know that then. I discovered that. I mean, I had to take the reins back from these people because I'm like, who is going to do this better for me than me? I can't allow somebody else to take care of my situation. And along the journey, I've had people come to me, well, you know, Layla, we know you're working on this, but I have somebody you might want to talk to. Maybe they can help you. So what would I do? I would say, okay, well, first I said, no. I said, well, let me talk to them, and I would interview them. You know, these attorneys at the time, I would interview them, and I realized, well, no, they don't know this. No, they don't know that. Therefore, I cannot engage with them to allow them to take, for me to hand my transaction over to them, thinking that they're going to do something good for me. So I have held this like my little baby, you know, for the duration, because I realized that I was going to have to be the one to take care of it. So
that's right. You know, I have to chime in on that whole modification thing, but let me preface this with everyone do what's right for you and your family at whatever stage you're at. You know, only you have that answer. So, but I just have to weigh my opinion, and you know, I'm full of them. And it goes back to what Brother Sharif was saying just a minute ago, the conditioning aspect of the whole thing, because people and even attorneys out there are of the mindset of thinking that the modifications is what to do. Excuse me for a second.
Well, that's because they don't know what they're supposed to do. I mean, the educational curve is turning around, but you have to remember that the banks were the ones or are the ones that were in control, and the homeowners didn't know. Supposedly the investors didn't know. The attorneys didn't know. So everybody was kind of fumbling around in the dark a little bit, thinking that these things were above board and legitimate, that your lender, who you thought was the lender and others encouraged you as the lender, could give you a modification. But as you know, once you reach the point of being in modification, supposedly you're in default. So if you're in default, from what we've learned, and the debt collector has purchased the debt, how can the debt collector give you a modification? I mean, there's some wonderful things that we've learned now that we can put into play. But people encourage the modifications, the trial period loans, all of these things, and they were just a hoax to get money. There were people who would enter into those trial modifications just for the length of time for the funding to come through. They would have already put forth all their paperwork, and then when the funding was over from whatever source it came from, then they would say, well, you know, you really don't qualify. Well, you don't get the money back. They've got all your financials. There's not much you can do. You're further down the path in being in delinquency or in default, and you were just in a catch-22. So it's a learning curve that people are really learning, and I'm eternally grateful for that.
Absolutely. Education. We were raised, my generation was raised to get a good education, you know, go out there and get a good job. Let's just rephrase that to say let's get a good SOAR education, okay? SOAR University has opened its doors, and we need to get educated with regard to how to deal as a consumer, because I understand. At first when I heard, I'm like, a consumer. That was my mindset, but my mindset has rapidly shifted because we are, when we go to buy gas, you know, Lori talked about the gas prices. Now, when we go to buy gas, we are a consumer. When we go to the grocery store, we are a consumer. When we go to the movies, we are a consumer. When we go to eat out, we are a consumer. When we go swimming, and, you know, there's no oceans here. There are lakes here where I am, but go swimming. If you're going to go to a pool somewhere, if you live in the city somewhere like in New York, I heard some pools are closing down or whatever, but you're a consumer. Whatever it is that you do, you are a consumer. When you step outside your front door, your back door, and you go out there on the public road, you are a consumer. So it's good to do for you. Go ahead.
That's what America is. It is made to be consumers. We're not manufacturing or making or doing anything. That's what's made in America now, consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have gotten very wealthy off of it.
Stepping back into the statement you made a few moments ago about the way people were raised up and trained about getting a good education to get a good job, well, the thing is, I talked last week about the missing link. A formal education, pretty much like you said, will make you a living, okay? And then you're conditioned to do that same thing over and over and over again, okay? As you mentioned, the different attorneys, each one are doctors or whoever specialize in certain areas, they don't come outside the box because that's all they know. But when you're in a setting like this and you get that informal education, you get that traditional information and that ongoing continuing education, that's worth, I would say, a fortune, because look at what you could do with it. If you master these consumer protection laws, like Brother Sharif has mentioned, and you're able to get your credit score up so that you can purchase whatever you want once you get a good, solid education on that, you're able to go back and penalize those people who have taken advantage of you with the laws and get income coming in. You may be in a position, whoever you are, depending upon how much of that you've mastered, that you're making far more than you would if you were going to work every day with that degree piece of paper. It is the informal education, I think, sometimes that helps people get into a position where they can do whatever they want to whenever they want to.
Absolutely.
I have a friend who is in a study group with me, and he has already this year, off of standing up for his rights, has made over $100,000 this year. And it's not over some incredible, you know, magic thing that he's done or some just, you know, beautiful racehorse Haynes attorney lawsuit, you know, setting presidents and setting everything on fire in the courtrooms. It's just about basic stuff. He's already, accumulatively, he has already made over $100,000. And that's through using FDCPA, TCPA, multiple lawsuits. It's awesome.
Well, Sharif says a mailbox can be full of money.
Well, that's chump change. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's not chump change, but you know, there's a few that I have showed that make little bit more than that. It's just out there, guys. I'm just telling you. I mean, they factor it in. It's built in. It's a cost of doing business. Sure, they're going to fight. They're going to test you. And in order to make that money, you should be tested. But let's just be honest. Many of you complaining about employment and a down economy. And I'm telling you right now, between China and Russia and Canada, all these debt collectors are buying up debt and properties, including the ones here in the U.S. So when you talk about the next up-and-coming business, why do you think the scam artists are, you know, coming in and playing debt collector? Okay, when are the tables going to turn where, you know, some scam consumers will start calling the debt collector and be like, I heard you sent me a letter on a debt. Which court do you want to go to? You understand? Mm-hmm. When are the tables going to turn? Okay, and people start really masquerading as consumers who are the most powerful in this country. It's not going to be until the people wake up themselves and you know, you stop, this country stops giving more validity to a paper corporation as opposed to an individual person, one of the people is how I say it. You know, too much validity is given toward a corporation. I had a sister that was went to an office, and she was doing something at a dentist appointment, and she said that her, you know, something about her child, and you know, she put down an address, and she had changed addresses, and the dentist clerk was questioning her on, well, you know, this is the address we have in the system. We need some proof that you change your address. You know, my sister is just like me. She said, excuse me? Since when do I have to prove anything to you? What do you mean I have to prove to you I changed my address or that's my child? It's what I say it is, unless you have information or evidence to the contrary. I'm not one of those people that sits around going through life having to prove everything, who I am and what is this and what is that. You're a clerk sitting at a desk. You're going to put down whatever address I tell you, and I'm not going to have to prove to you anything. I said, that's my child, that's my child. So the lady went and got her manager. Manager came back, and she says, it's no problem. Just go in there and, you know, just do, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, this is what's wrong with us today, that, you know, we find ourselves answering questions to, you know, fictitious entities, to people that just spent $300 to incorporate, and now they can sit up there and take your information, demand things of you, tell you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. And, you know, I had a friend just last week. Her daughter was in the military. 18 years old, she decided to go to military. Her mother wanted to move with her, along with her other siblings, wanted to move where she was going, which was to Hawaii. So, you know, she asked me, she says, Brother Sharif, you know, I said, no. I said, under this federal law, the Service Members Act, I believe, and your state law, there should be a provision in there that you should be able to terminate your lease if you're immediate family is going to the military. And she and I gave it to her. She looked it up. And she says, okay. I said, well, just send them a letter with your intent, whatever your state law says. You got to give them 60 days, 45 days, whatever have you, and tell them you'll be, you know, severing your lease and send them a copy of your orders, and, you know, everything should be fine. So she did that, and nobody ever said anything. Says, okay, you know, we'll go ahead and process it. And I think the whatever the realty company or the landlord had an issue and came back and was like, no, it was a management company, and said, well, we have to get this approved because we'll be forgiving a lot of money, is what she told me, the management company said. And I said, what do you mean forgiving a lot of money? Because I think she was only halfway through her lease. So I said, they're not forgiving anything. Federal and state law says that immediate family. So the lady calls back and says she talked with her company attorney, and the company attorney said that since her daughter was not a tenant on the lease, which she's an occupant, different as an occupant and tenant. I mean, she's on it. She's a child. Okay, she's been on it since 16. She's now 18 going to the military. She's a child. So since she wasn't a tenant, then we can't honor that. And the lady was already gone. I mean, she had already moved to Hawaii. She had just moved, and they tell her that at the last minute. So I said, okay. I said, this is ridiculous. So the lady starts corresponding with me, and you know that wasn't good. You know, I said, ma'am, I'm going to point to you a state and federal law, and state and federal law says, okay, immediate
I'm going to describe to you clearly what it says. Immediate family members. Now, she says, what the lease? I said, ma'am, your lease has nothing. If your lease is an apposite to state or federal law, your lease goes in the garbage. Okay? Nobody reads the lease. You don't have to. As long as it complies with state or federal law, if there's an issue, then your lease is just going to be totally shredded. So the lease may say that a tenant, but her daughter is an occupant, and that's her child. Do you understand? So the law, federal and state, covers immediate family. It doesn't say tenant, and it doesn't say occupant. It says immediate family. That's a mother and child. Now, I don't know what the problem is, but if you're really talking to counsel at your job, then something's wrong with them. You can have them contact me. I'm a family member, okay? And I've been given the power to handle the matter for her. So they had she had the attorney email says, "Oh, we'll be providing a a statement if you have any more questions." We never had any questions to begin with. You got state and federal law. Let us know how you want to proceed. If you like to go to court, we'll go to court about it. But we're not going to sit up here and argue. You're not forgiving anything. You're not forgiving anything. The law affords her that benefit since she is a service member. We're not going to argue about what your company is forgiving. You're going to rent the property out. You're going to do what you got to do. You're not losing anything. That's the law. So I just bring that up to tell you that any average person would have thought that they needed to pay $10,000 or $12,000 because this knucklehead company or this clerk, $10 an hour clerk, is going to tell you what the contracts say when the law says something totally different, not just one law, not just state law, but federal law. We have to learn. We really have to get into the books and start cleaning up our knowledge or start enhancing our knowledge on what things really are. Because every day I hear situations and deal with situations, I'm like, well, did you look it up? Well, did you vet what they said? Did you research it? You're too lazy? Did you go to your kid's basketball game today? You did, but you didn't research the law. Do you know that based on what I just knew, you would have paid $12,000, okay? You would have paid $12,000 because you thought you had to when the law says clearly she's playing word games with you by saying tenant and the law says immediate family members. Now, which one are you going to believe? She's trying to tell you that the language in her lease that they created, okay, for themselves, for the benefit of themselves, somehow supersedes the law. So as soon as I point out words, ma'am, you keep talking about tenant and occupant, and the law says immediate family members. Tell me where you see tenant and occupant defined in the law. Then that means it doesn't matter what your words or what kind of word ping pong you're playing. I'm going to tell you what the letter of the law says. We have to learn how to do this. We have to learn when debt collectors call in and they're scamming us. Says, we're calling about your so-and-so debt. We're like, really? What debt is that? When did I incur that debt? Oh, really? And what's your name? And what's your name and what company are you from? So you're not from the creditor's company. Okay, so you're a debt collector. Well, no, yes or no. Are you a debt collector? Sir? Okay, well, let me ask you a couple questions while you're on here because I listen to Thor Radio. Let me ask you a question. Did I give you any express permission for you to call me? No, sir, is this really yes or no? Okay, well, let me let you know this. Pursuant to 1692, 15 U.S.C. that is. You're familiar with that, aren't you? That's the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act, and you are trying to collect the debt, right? I dispute any debt, all right? I need you to validate, verify the debt. I'm not going to tell you when, where, what, how. I'm assuming that since you are in this arena, you know what to do, and you should be able to rattle off those laws just as quick as I do. Are you familiar with that? And you have fun with them. And you say, now you understand, I'm telling you I'm disputing your debt, and I already asked you, did you have some express permission from me? Now, it would be good for you to call me back. You understand what I'm saying? Because I got this little log here that Thor gave me, and I'm just going to jot down how many times you call me. You sound sexy on the phone. I would love for you to call me back, to listen to a sexy man or woman on the phone and get $1,500 per call. I mean, that's a deal in this country. Please call me back. And then please, within 5 days, don't send me an initial communication pursuant to 1692G. Please don't send me that letter, okay, because that will be another $1,000 plus actual damages, costs, and fees. And then do me a favor. Please report that to the credit bureau, okay? And I'm looking for it because I'm going to pull my report every day. I hope you decide to take up residency in my credit report. It's already screwed up, so don't worry about it. You can live in there with all the other debt collectors. Y'all can roommate. I'm going to sue all of you. So, these are the things that you can have fun with and start to understand and not get mad about, but you have fun with it like I do. okay? When they say, well, you know, well, we bought your debt. I'm like, oh, man, that's, you know, that's a good thing. I was wondering when the government was going to come out with a program where you just go buy people's debt. Now, what debt did you buy of mine? Because I don't know of any. Where did you buy? Man, that was so gracious of you. Are you a charitable organization or are you affiliated with a church? Did you just go buy people's debt? Oh, you bought the debt thinking that I was, oh, so in other words, wait a minute, Thor taught me this. You spent the nickel and you're trying to get $2 from me. Is that what it is? Oh, so you bought the debt not as a favor. You wanted me to pay you a profit for you investing a nickel. Is that what you wanted me to do as a debt collector? What's your name? They trained you well. This is the fun that we should have. It's fun I have, but this is the fun that we should have. And we should be able to talk to them like that, and we should be grateful when especially some of you are having economic hard times when someone calls you at $1,500 a call. You can't hire attorneys, what, $300, $400 an hour? A debt collector is going to call you and give you $1,500, and he's going to do it more than once, I promise you, especially if you're nice like that. And you give them a little bit, and you make it seem like, you know, you're just so nice and nice. Oh, so you bought the debt. Oh, wow. How is that business going? So you guys do what? I kind of read somewhere. I don't know if this true. Maybe you could confirm it, that you pay like 4 or 5 cents on a dollar for it. It's a pretty good business. And I know I'm supposed to pay you like $1, $1.50, $2, something like that, right? Or if you take me to court, it might be $5 on that, you know, 5, 10 cents. Investment. I'm like, that's a good business. Why are you an employee? You should be leaving there and open up your own corporation, wouldn't you? You know, nice conversations is what you should have when people that throw money in your lap, that's what you should have, is very nice conversations. And thank God for the opportunity, because times are hard, and some of you need that money. You just don't want to take the time to learn how to do it. So you'll email and you'll say, oh, I had something else to do this weekend. I'm like, yeah, well, the debt collectors don't. I can promise you. They'll be calling you throughout the weekend. Or if your family's in town, or if, you know, you or one of the idiots that email me and say, you know, well, I'm watching Perry Mason. Is this going to be recorded? And let me talk about idiot stuff again. You know, Thor, we try to maintain our professionalism. We try to maintain focus, specificity, and purpose. That's one of the goals when I started and founded this group. I wanted to, because I know a lot out there, they don't have that. They're really void of that. Okay, they're all over the place. They're talking about, you know, you don't know if they're talking about Spain or China or Turkey or, you know, the Bahamas. They're all over the place. So we decided to stay on a plane and make sure you understand it before you go to the next island. So when I get emails from people about, you know, well, what did you do the 4th of July? Okay? And Mr. 4th of July, man, you're probably out there, and you know who I'm talking to. And then you want to give me a dissertation on how the British came here and, you know, how they, you know, the framers of, you know, the signers of the Declaration of Independence and who signed it and how many of them signed it, how many of them were jailed, and how many of the Navy took over their possessions. Like, I don't even want to hear about that, because you know what? Thor doesn't care. We don't care about your religious beliefs. We don't care about your economic background. We don't care about your political status or your political beliefs. And you notice I said beliefs, because not one of you on this phone call has any facts to what happened any time beyond your age. Do you understand? Not one of you. And when you start really to deal with the legal world, you start separating facts from fiction, from hearsay, okay, from admissible evidence to evidence. I mean, you start separating in life. You start conducting your life like that. You start talking to your kids like that. Well, I heard that, you know, that this guy in school, wait a minute, time out. You heard from who? Well, I heard from my girlfriend. I said, well, you know what that is, right? Well, that's, yeah, they say, okay, then you don't base your life on hearsay, nor do you even perpetuate that. That's not good, okay? They call it hearsay in the legal arena. They call it gossip on the street. They call it reality TV on TV. You don't participate in that. You only participate in factual things in life. That's it. So I have this gentleman that wants to tell me about, you know, the 4th of July and what it really means and how it shouldn't be a picnic, how you shouldn't be drinking beer, and how you shouldn't, based on, you know, based on the fact that anybody that doesn't know about what he says history is has a half a brain. These type of idiots, and I'm going to call you an idiot because you are, you're so tied up in what happened a million years ago, you wasn't there.
And as one of my panels said, if you were there, you probably would have ran and not participate or sign any doggone thing. You can't even sign your own paperwork today. If I ask you what a debt collector is, you think that's total nonsense, but you deal with it every day and you're a consumer every day, and you probably have debt collectors calling you every day, but you want to talk about what the 4th of July was. Is it important? Probably to you. It's not important to me. The economic stability of my people, of the people around me, of my panel, of the people that listen to this call, the economic stability and their awareness and the information that they have is what's important to me, not who discovered America or who you think discovered America. I don't care about that nonsense. I really don't care about it. I don't care about the nonsense politics that's going on TV, the show scandal that shows you how it really works. I mean, how many shows do they have to put in your people's face for you to understand that everything's a freaking movie? Life as they project it to you is a movie, and they keep telling you you're an actor in the movie, and you still don't understand who you are. You want to basically talk about what British colony came over and knocked one of the framers of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and you shouldn't be drinking a beer or having a cookout or having picnics. Well, you need to look at the definition of picnic and know where that word comes from. Study some etymology. Any of you wouldn't talk the way you talk if you did. Who created those words you're talking about? You get in court and you think they're saying one thing when they're totally saying another, and you walk out and then you want to think the court is corrupt because you don't understand the language because you didn't study it. It's not their fault. It's your fault. So stop emailing Thor about anything about your puritanical beliefs, about your historical beliefs, who you think discovered this country, who fired the first gun, who didn't. Who cares? Who cares? Any of you on the panel care, Rudy, Lori, Layla, you care about who the first one was here, who signed the Declaration, who formed the Constitution, who built the first ark, and, you know, we can talk about that for days. We can have wars based on who we believe was here and who wasn't. I have my own beliefs. I don't share them because I really don't think y'all care. I don't care. I have my beliefs. I'll bow with my beliefs. And my beliefs is probably adverse to most of y'all's. To most of you, because, again, I had a show where I said some of y'all really think that you're more powerful than others. Some of you really think you have more relevance on this land than others. Some of you really ironically think that somehow some particular faction of people owns this land that was here many years before them. How can you own something that precedes you? How can you own something that was already here when you got here? How did you come across owning anything in this country unless you built it or you actually paid for it? And when I say paid, look up the definition of the word paid. Not leased it, not borrowed it, not stole it. How can you own something that was stolen? Let's look into that. In today's society, you'll go to jail for stolen property. Most of the people in this country that claim that they own this land would be in jail. Parts of this country were stolen. Okay? It was stolen.
No.
With
a gun. We don't have allodial titles anymore.
We sure don't. You have a corporation leasing it to you in the frame of ownership when it's not ownership, and you should see that. If you own property, you should see you didn't own anything. If you owned it, why you didn't create the mortgage contract? How does someone that's a strong consumer go into a building that is a so-called bank with excellent so-called credit and let the person, the building, the fictitious entity dictates the terms of your perfect credit and consumer power and tell you how you're going to do it? Think about that for a minute. Is it someone with perfect credit that's a good consumer going and they dictate the terms of the agreement? This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Why? There's not a lot of perfect, powerful, perfect credit consumers out there. There's a whole lot of you doggone finance and agencies and industries and resources and banks and all that. There's plenty of you. I can go to one every block. Find 10 consumers like me in a given month, and you think you're going to give me the same contract you give them, or you're going to dictate to me the terms of the agreement? When are you going to start get powerful and start looking at the agreement? Like, we don't need that. What do you mean I'll be drawing up my own? I've done it. I do it all the time. Man, let me cross that out. I'm going to cross that out. No, I don't like that. I'm going to cross that out. I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it like this and that, and you let me know if you want the deal. We don't know our power anymore. Mm-hmm. We let them treat us like sheep, like we all look the same, like we all are the same. Well, we are.
But our knowledge is what will put us above the next person that's watching the Maury Povich show or Wendy Williams or reality. You should be able to sign the same contract they signed and they don't know anything and you know everything. Or when you start getting into suing debt collectors, you know, they send you over a settlement agreement, a stipulation agreement, and you don't send over one. Like, you're losing. I'm beating your tail on the law, and you're going to draw up the stipulation agreement that we signed. You see the mindset I'm talking about, panel? This is a mindset. Like, what do you mean, well, I will send you over? No, I'll send you over a stipulation agreement. You're losing, sir. I'm suing you. How would you define anything about an agreement? First of all, you should be blessed and honored that I even gave you an opportunity to talk in a settlement agreement. But it's going to be under my terms. I'm the injured party. You're not going to draft anything. This is the mindset. So it's not just learning how to get into litigation. It's learning how to first know who you are and what power you possess as a people, as a community, as a person, as a consumer. And once you understand that power, then you'll benefit from any transaction in life. But if you don't know, you just get in, you get happy, and you're beating the other side, and the other side is losing, and they want to wave the white flag, and they want to wave the white flag. So, I don't like that coffee. Wait. I want you to wave this color right here. See, that's what I do. That's what my panel would do. Okay? If you're going to submit to me, you're going to submit to me in a way I want you to submit. I want you to wave a pink flag, like Sheriff Arpaio putting the guys in jail in Arizona. Okay? I'm going to put you in pink underwear. That's what he does. Why? Because you're the losing party. You're the losing party. You're defending your inmate in my prison system. So, you know, you don't have any rights in here. I give you your rights. Mr. Debt Collector, I give you your rights. I give you your in. I give you your out. I let you know if I'm going to let you out or whether I want to go to trial. I might just want to go to trial to prove a point because I don't like the way you talk to me. I didn't like when I gave you an opportunity to settle, you didn't. So we're just going to go all the way, eat up all your attorney fees, let you pay your money, and then lose that trial because you're going to lose. You're absolutely going to lose. So you want to draw up an agreement that correlates to a ceasefire, and I'm going to let you draw that up. Why? Because we don't know how to write. Or we think the opposing counsel should write it for us because, you know, they somehow write better. And we understand the language that they're writing in, right? How about you just write it in simple English? How about you just write it in its plain and ordinary meaning? Go look that up. How about we just start writing back? How about we stop taking the deceptive language out of what we do and start saying, you want to do business with me, this is how you're going to do business. I will write the contract. I will cross out what I don't like, and we're going to keep it real, real easy and plain. Because I speak English, common English. We're not going to talk in this third-party language, this third-world language, where you're putting all kind of holes in these documents to where you think I know what it means. You're assuming, presuming that I know what it means, and you don't. This is where the power is going to come back to the people. I think your president wants to put a law out that says, you know, these contracts are just, you know, they're false, small print, they're prime print. The law says that you need to put it in its plain and ordinary lingo. That's the legal terminology. Thank you, brother.
Well, Brother Sharif, you've been talking a little bit about writing and such. For those people who are on the call now who may not know about the class on tomorrow, can you tell them how to sign up for the class, please?
Yes, you will have to send an email to us at debtshow@yahoo.com if you have an interest in it. It will not be on the website. Okay, we're not putting it on the website. We don't want to have to add, you know, more buttons to the PayPal link. So, you know, debtshow@yahoo.com, RSVP, say you have an interest in being at the show, we'll send you the appropriate link and get you signed up. You won't receive any other email other than you're signed up once you do your reserving, you're in. You will get the information later on this evening or first thing in the morning as to what number to dial in. I'm telling you right now for everybody, this seminar is not for lazy people, okay? This is school. When you go to school, you should have your book bag, you should have your notepad, you should have a specific notepad for this seminar and the topics that's going to be discussed. Anything that is discussed in this webinar and everything will be discussed that you will need. And if you have any questions after that, the way I teach and the way I explain, then you're going to need a consultation. Okay? The class ends next weekend, Sunday. will not go on because you have questions. You have to study. Lori just said, you know, she had a friend that made $100,000 a year. Some of you have never made $100,000 a year. Do you think he did some studying? And I'm telling you that all he had to study was in total, if you add all the pictures and all the small print, he may have studied 100 pages between the FCRA, the FDCPA, and the TCPA. Now, I'm going to tell you now, $100,000 to study 100 pages? Some of you went to school and studied a million pages and got out and got a job for $40,000 a year. It's only for serious people. It really is. It's only for serious people. It's not for lazy people. It's not for people that want to be spoon-fed, because I'm not going to spoon. I think we do enough. I think Thor does the best job spoon-feeding you and giving you information that you should pay for anywhere else.
And that class is going to be starting tomorrow, which is Saturday.
Tomorrow, 11 a.m.
July 12th.
Eastern Standard Time. Yes.
That's right. And it's going to, for those who are coming in late, because I can see some people coming in late, it's going to be complaint drafting and writing, filing lawsuits with exhibits, pleading federal rules of procedure, and the infamous motion to dismiss 12b-6, how to oppose that. So please go to debtshow@yahoo.com and reserve your seat for tomorrow. And then on Sunday, I'm going to talk about Rule 26, which is scheduling, conference scheduling. I'm going to talk about hearing, discovery, depositions, interrogatories, all those words that people get afraid of, admissions, production of documents, subpoena, rules of evidence, settlement and negotiations, stipulations, et cetera. All of these are the things that we're going to need if we're going to go to court. You want to know how to get your thoughts on paper, put them in the proper order, get that complaint done. And when you move past that 12b-6 that you know you're going to get past, what you need to do with the scheduling and different things like that. So please consider coming to the class, getting that information, because you will definitely need it, and it's going to be presented in a very, very good fashion. Lots of wonderful information that people will need.
That's right.
And please,
right.
And we like everybody to come that is serious about getting the education, because it's not education that's going to fade. This information is going to be out here. You're going to need it for a long time. But I will say, we don't need the email saying you're not able to make it. It's not church. It's okay if you're not there. It's education. It's class. Will there be another class of the same sort? Why does it need to be? We don't need to duplicate effort. We're doing the class. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices. Well, my kid is coming over. Okay, well, you know. As soon as your kid leaves, the debt collectors will be calling you or trying to take your property. You have to determine what level of importance you have in this education is. You don't have to get a permission slip from me. So we understand. We know a lot of you want to be there and can't be there. We understand it's a sacrifice, and it's something that, you know, those who benefit that is there. We don't care if we have two people at this, which is not going to be, but we don't care if we have two people there. It doesn't matter. That's two people that are going to go out, and they're going to make some good money or keep some good money in their pocket. Okay? So I heard y'all talking about procedures and you know, what happens in paralegal school, which is what I attended, and, you know, what happens in law school. I really don't know. I have good friends that are in there. I can only hear stories. I wasn't there. But, you know, yeah, it's a lot of procedural things. They don't teach you the meat and potatoes of – don't no job do that. I'll be honest with you. Okay? On-the-job training is really on-the-job formal training, procedural training. This is what you do at step one. Now, some things is going to happen in between step one and step two that we don't have an answer for. That's called experience. But that's why when you get a college degree, they be like, okay, so you have the formal training, but you have no on-the-job training. Okay, so you have to do what? You have to be an intern, meaning you have to see and feel what goes on that we can't teach you, because we'd be here forever trying to teach you every situation that can happen. You think there's a class out there on how to deal with an educated consumer? One of the Thor members, you think there's a class out of there? No, it's not. Trust me, it's not. I talk to them and deal with them all the time. Like y'all said earlier, most attorneys don't even know about it. Unless they practice that field, they don't know about it. I told y'all about after a Rule 26 hearing, one of good friends of mine, is, you know, they hit him with interrogatories and discoveries. They're talking about, did you sign? We're going to introduce the deed. We're going to introduce, you know, the assignment. I'm like, the biggest bunch of idiots in the world. You're going to introduce the same evidence, and we're going to say, What does that got to do? What does that have to do with anything? Whether we got a note on a mortgage? Okay, we did. We'll raise our hand. What next? Why? You're asking questions that totally tells me you're not prepared, and at trial you're going to absolutely get blistered, or you're going to enter into a settlement agreement, and we're going to base that settlement agreement on what you don't know. Because you definitely don't know asking us questions about a deed or a mortgage or anything else. This is about your behavior and conduct. It's not about the debt. Okay, so you think there's classes out there to deal with a consumer like that? No, they don't expect it. And then when they get somebody that's educated, what do they say? Are you an attorney? Are you shitting around with me? Are you playing games? You're really an attorney, aren't you? That's offensive. No, I'm a consumer. Why do you think I'm an attorney? Because I actually read the law. They really think y'all are the stupidest people on the planet. They think you just don't know anything. And if you know something, the first thing they want to throw at you is, are you an attorney? Which tells us that they just think if we haven't been to school for some formal training, how do we know this? There has to be an attorney behind you somewhere. You must be married to one. Or you must be sleeping with one.
Ghostwriter.
Or something. Why? Because you're just... Because consumers are not educated.
That's really what they mean.
Consumers are not educated.
They're not.
Come on, they're at the basketball game. They're trying to figure out what LeBron is going to do and Carmelo Anthony, and they're looking at basketball wives, or, you know, they're sitting up there working three jobs, or, you know, they're worried about what the president's going to do and Obamacare and all that kind of crap. You're definitely not going to take time to be an educated consumer. You're not going to be one of the ones that walk in and be like, put your contract away, I'll write you up one, I'll send one, let me know if you want to do business. I got four other banks that will, based on my terms.
But that's exactly the plan, isn't it, you know, mm-hmm. Brother Sharif? That's exactly the plan. That's exactly what it's all designed to do, to keep you distracted, keep you believing, and keep you pedaling on one bike when really there's another bicycle that you can ride, and it was there all along. All you have to do is stop listening and getting blindsided and distracted and going back to, you know, your rant earlier on the beliefs, you know, believe in this and believe in that, and instead form your own beliefs, form your own knowledge, form your own structure, form your own way, make your own road, and it'll work out a lot better. And that's what they're not expecting from the majority as a whole. And really, that's, you know, everybody's playing along nicely. Everybody gets caught up in all the belief structures out there and distractions and the basketball wives and who knows whatever else is on there or the news story. You know, they tell you right there it's the news story. And it is very blinding and distracting. And if you can keep your focus and start sorting all that out and trying to figure out, you know, if you just shake it down, like I always say, shake it down to the very minimum, you know, what is the purpose for all that? The purpose is there's always a design behind it all, you know, just like religion and war. Religion and war,
you know,
they're created for two things, control.
And people just don't wake up to the fact that a lot of things are in our face, the consumer protection laws, movies that they do. There are plenty of movies that have, I mean, just overwhelming significance to where they can go back and say, we've told you 100 times what was going on. Like, I'll give you an example. Yeah. That show Scandal is a good show, and it's a great demonstration on how they really do politics and spin and all of that. It's really a good example. It's great entertainment. Some people get into the show for the soap opera side of it. When you really look at it, you'll be like, wow, that's how they really do it in life. That's how they spin things. That's how they corrupt things. That's really how it's done. And they'll tell you that these are actors, and you won't get it. These are statutes. And when you think a statute, what really is a statute? You need to look up these definitions. There's statutes that are downtown all the time. Who are these people? You know, what do you mean statutes? What is that? Statute law? You know, people say, well, statutes and code. Well, what is a code? A code is something that's hidden, right? Is it a code? Something hidden? Morse code? Scramble code, code. I mean, if it's something for everybody, why would it be considered a code or statute? You know? And then they use law. And then all those things mean the same. And, oh, yeah, that means the same. The teacher in high school tell you, oh, in the college, oh, yeah, that means the same. You understand that? Like, well, how many times do we vote for somebody that gives us a hope and a prayer, and they turn around and do the same thing they've done for the last 100 years? How many times are you going to go to that machine and push a button when they're telling you that they can manipulate the button that you push?
Come on, really,
these are computers. We got whistleblowers that's telling you, man, we can take a computer and put your face on a $1 million bill and make it look real and probably spend it. But you still want to go participate because you're programmed. We need to wake up.
That's it.
We really do. That's what this session is about. It's about waking you up. And some of you are going to come to the session, and hopefully none of you do, but you're coming, you'll still be a bad consumer. You'll still not understand your power, because everywhere you turn around, they're diminishing your power. They're telling you that the power rests in some person with a robe or with a star or with something around their neck, and you don't understand you're the most powerful. Okay? They'll tell you about immunity. They always describe themselves entitled. Well, who are you? I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm not adding at you for your title. What's your name? You're a person. When you take off that costume, you're a person. When you take off that title, attorney, you're a person. When you take off that title, you're still a consumer. Do you understand? You're a consumer every day, all day. They're titled for 8 to 10 hours a day. You're a consumer. You're one of the people all the time. And you have the right to privacy and the right to do what the heck you want to do, as long as you're not injuring anybody. That's your power. And it's presumed that you are affiliated with various different groups, societies, body politics, states, if you don't know what that means. I mean, it's a lot of things we need to learn. And Thor's going to cover those things, but we're going to cover most of all the most important part, the part that can enrich you, that can bring up your economic status, because you're a little bit more comfortable when you're able to keep money in your pocket and make money. And that's what we're all about, and that's a topic everybody should be interested in. But if I go on some boom camera group right now, they'll probably have 1,000 listeners talking about, you know, what Jay-Z and Beyonce is doing.
Taking their money to the bank.
Right. I had a guy on the radio, man. Jay-Z's one of the richest guys. What are you, one of the poorest guys?
Right.
You probably got debt. You probably on a payment plan with a debt collector right now, paying them $100 a month.
You know, and okay? These fake debt collectors, you know, they call them, you know, the preliminary information that they're getting on their listing, they call these lists sucker lists. So they're calling all the consumers suckers, you know, and that's what we're talking about.
I mean, y'all earned it. Y'all really earned it. I'm seriously, y'all really earned it. With 90% of you having default judgments in debt collector cases, you're not going to court? Who wouldn't? Why you think Warren Buffett said, look, I'm gonna get a part of this Vegas right here, this nickel, and get me $3? I keep telling y'all keep going down this direction, Thor's just going to have a collection company. We'll treat you a little bit better. But we're just going to go on the other side. Just kidding. But eventually it is frustrating when the people just don't understand and you just think it's so difficult. You think it's so complex. Why? Because the legal society make you think everything in life is complex. It's very easy. It's very simple. Not easy, it's simple when you take the time to understand it. Now, this weekend and next weekend, we have no obligation to determine your learning ability or speed. Okay? Some of you are going to get it right away. Some of you probably in your normal lives and in your school days probably was in special ed. I don't know. Maybe he's in the back of the class, in the front of the class. I don't know. I mean, Layla with all her fancy words, we could tell Layla was in the front of the class. She was a teacher's pet.
Whatever.
I had to make sure y'all was woke. Layla was in the front of the class. And, you know, Layla got special homework. Said, Layla, you study these 20 words. I'm going to give the rest of the class, you know, the normal words. Okay? And you study copious. I want you to be able to mention these words. And Layla took it and she ran with it. Now Layla gets it. Okay? Layla goes high on me sometimes. Sometimes I got to throw some law at her and throw her off to get up off of me. I'll be like, all right, take that word and go look that up. Call me tomorrow.
Okay. You got to throw Layla off the top. Layla go Michelle Obama on you in a minute. You'd be like, all right, Layla, slow down. How about these words right here? Valuable consideration. Go look that up. Call me back tomorrow. Right? So, but honestly, we can't dictate or control how you learn. This is why I say bring your pad and your pencil and be serious about class. So, you know, some of you are going to catch it, some of you not. Some of you are going to have to go back and read things 3 or 4 times. You'll be surprised I will read things 3, 5, and 7 times because I always get something else out of it. And it's nothing slow about that. There's nothing slow about it, you know. So we want to teach you how to, you know, that's why we're not providing recordings because recordings is for lazy people. It really is. When you go to these upper echelon schools and charter schools and these big meetings where you pay $40,000 a plate, do you think they got recordings at those Obama meetings and all those meetings of the minds? Do you think they got recordings there? But like, yeah, I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to look at this babe over here, and I'll just get a recording and listen later. No, they'd be like, look, you better catch it. If you don't, you just waste your $40,000 a plate because we're going to give out some serious information. You understand? So we're not doing recordings. This is only for serious people. If you can't retain information or you can't recollect information that's given to you that's simple, okay? And I try to stay away from the Layla vocabulary. I try to keep it real street level where everybody can get it. And then for those that, you know, want to eat 3 of those paragraphs, they could to fulfill their vocabulary desire. But, I mean, you know, you got to come in serious. You got to come in wanting to do it and wanting to go forward and be a producer. And that's the only reason why we're doing it. I'm not doing it for me. I mean, I'm good. Trust me, I'm fine. I'm reading all the time. My eyes are going bad from reading so much. I'm good. I'm a strategist. The only thing I spend time on is strategizing, mixing it up, finding out ways to put you in a box, put more nails in the coffin. That's all I'm doing. I enjoy it. So hopefully everybody will be in attendance. We do understand that some of you are too cheap to educate yourself. You know, we do understand that. And you want to bounce around and get some free information, and you know that free information, where it's gotten you. Some of you rather listen to, you know, putting your toe print on the right-hand corner of a document in purple ink and putting your finger through it in yellow. I mean, some of you might, and listen, I'm not saying that it don't work. Maybe it does. Maybe the court takes that home and gives it to their kids as child art. I don't know. But, you know, we're going to show you how it's really done, what our experiences is. We're going to give you that on-the-job training. Experiences, because that's on-the-job training. All right? So we look forward to tomorrow and Sunday and next week. We will be back here on Tuesday as well. If there are some other topics, I'll shut up because I can talk all day. And I know Layla's probably like, all right, sit down. So I'll take my glass of water. I'll sit back in the seat, and I'll let Reverend Rudy and Layla and Lori take over.
Well, I wasn't thinking.
Go ahead, Rudy.
I think we've covered everything we wanted to cover, and that was really to talk about tomorrow, the anticipation of all the great information that's going to be shared tomorrow. Again, I'd like to say I'm extremely excited because there's never been anything like, to my knowledge, where there's been the coming together and the meeting of the minds and to sit down and have a class like this for people who are interested in learning and going forward. So with that, I just want to say I just look forward to being with everybody on tomorrow.
Well, Thor family, I don't know, were we going to open the lines? Do we have the ability? I know that I don't think so.
Can
everybody hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. My phone flashed, and I thought that I lost connection. Are we going to open the lines? Do we have the ability to do so? I know that we had some technical difficulties earlier.
No, I don't think we're going to be able to do that.
All right, no worries. Well, with that being said, we've pretty much handled everything that we've discussed everything. I'm just really excited for this coming weekend. For those of you who are joining Thor University this weekend, we welcome you in advance so that on Tuesday, when we come back on Tuesday, we'll be able to speak about the wonderful education that we've received and the things that we're going to be able to do as we move forward into the next weekend. Just make sure you sign up because you are in charge of your own destiny. Empower yourself to do something for yourself and your family so that you can leave that wonderful legacy. Stand tall against these debt collectors. That's what Gore University will bring to you. Peace and blessings, everyone. Lori?
Yeah, I just want to say everybody have a great weekend. I look forward to those who are attending and going to get your learn on with all of us this weekend. I just encourage you to do that, and I thank you for taking control of your own life and empowering yourself because it's something that is not only going to impact your immediate future, it's something that you'll be able to take with you throughout your journey, you know, in life and be able to utilize it in many different ways and not to mention just be able to start looking at things in a different way. And I know for me, whenever I go to the mailbox and I don't have a letter in there from a debt collector that I can't write something and potentially get money from, I'm like, wah, wah. I look like Eeyore coming back from the mailbox. But anyway, you know, I just encourage everyone to start that journey. If you're not able to attend this weekend, at least start the journey on your own and start reading and opening yourself to those different things. And I guess we will be talking to y'all, the rest of the guys, on Tuesday. And something else Brother Sharif had brought up earlier, I wanted to make a comment on, he brought up etymology. That's one of my, I know Layla knows I have a fascination with that. That is, if you want to get your little side hobby going on for this summer, look into that. That will really, really start opening your mind to some, just a lot of different things, and maybe it'll start getting you in the flow of figuring out what and how and how it all kind of goes together as far as all the conditioning that's out there with the public schools and the public media and the public. But anyway, yeah, etymology is a very interesting subject. And anyway, everybody have a great and safe weekend and have a hot dog party. Enjoy.
Y'all want to see if we have any questions? We got one caller in the queue for a question.
Okay,
if you want to, you got a question, 657-383-0332, 657-383-0332 if you have a question. I'll open up and take this question right quick, and then we'll let the rest of you go. Caller from 11111, you're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was. I actually sent a few requests in to get an invite for the university, and I haven't gotten anything back yet. Am I sending it
to
the right email? Yes, last night and today.
What's your name?
Jeffrey.
DebtShow@yahoo.com. If you do send that, then we usually respond, and we'll be sending out everything today, your response and where your required payment should be, and that's
okay.
All you're going to get. So, yeah, DebtShow, DebtShow@yahoo.com, and we respond tonight. If you don't get one right back, we'll tally in up tonight and get everything over to you. And then throughout the school session this weekend, we'll get documents sent to you, so you need to have your browser open and your computer, and you'll be sent documents based on the specific topics that we're going through at that time.
Okay, thanks, brother. I actually attended a small claims one, so I thought I would be kind of like in the email list
for
the next webinar.
Oh, you are.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure you are. I believe I remember seeing your email, so of course you are.
Okay,
you
thank
definitely
you,
are.
Brother.
We didn't forget about
Look
you. We're
going to
get it. Everybody. Don't worry about that. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Bless
right.
you, brother.
Thanks a lot. All right. So we had for calls.
I put DebtShow@yahoo.com in the chat, so whatever questions are there, please forward your questions to DebtShow, DebtShow@yahoo.com, and we will see you all tomorrow.
And may I please
all right,
also
what's going on in the chat? Any questions in the chat?
There was one that said he didn't get an email. That was probably just shown here, but I think you have another caller open on the board.
Let me make a comment, please. For those of you that are sending an email to debtshow@yahoo.com, please in the subject line put Thor University. That'll be really helpful.
That's my girl, boy. I'm telling you, my queen's be on it. Layla be on it. That's Layla. All right, we do have a question from a caller.
And let's try to open up the airline 541-4297. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering how to get a hold of you, not about legal issues, but about the brotherhood.
About the brotherhood.
Yeah.
You can get a hold of
the Moors. Because I've had contact with the Moors over the last 5 years on the East Coast. I'm here in Oregon. And I've been going around in circles trying to get to some information about, I think it was one of the brothers was on stalking, government stalking. That's what I was
I don't know. A lot of people assume I'm not a part of any Moorish society. I'm not a part of the brotherhood. I didn't know it was a brotherhood. But, yeah, I'm not a part of that. I don't really deal with those puritanical issues.
Well, Sharif, I'm a veteran, and I have some issues I'd like
veteran?
To talk
okay.
to you about. Yes.
Okay.
And I'd like some conversation with you if you could give me a call at this number off the line.
Okay.
Put your number. Don't put your number in the air. Put it in the debt show at Yahoo. Put it your number in the email.
No, he just mentioned it. He just said it.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got the email address. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but again, I can't help you with anything about any Moorish thing. I don't affiliate with that.
I appreciate
but
that.
I will definitely try to reach out to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All righty. Let's see. I think that's all the questions. Wait a minute. No, that's the same gentleman. Okay. All right, I think that is all of the questions. Layla, did you want to touch on something else? I got word from the listening audience that Layla's been voted sexiest radio personality of the year.
Fantastic.
Voice. Sexiest voice radio personality of the year, something of that sort. And I told him, I said, listen, if you want Layla, you have to be able to demonstrate extensive knowledge in the consumer protection law, but you can't, because you can't do anything for it. If you got a normal job, you're subject to be fired or terminated at any time, and she's going to ask you, what are you going to fall back on, buddy? What else are you going to do for me besides, you know, being an engineer? Okay, what if they stop, you know, building bridges and skyscrapers? What are you going to do? Then the debt collector is going to be calling you. You're going to bring that in my life, and I'm going to be like, just give them to me, and I'll make some money. I'm just kidding. But that is the truth, Layla. They're after you. I think it's some of those Moorish guys, some of those Moorish guys, the way the gentleman was describing them. They want to know more about you.
Layla's sexy. That's
no problem.
That's
very flattering, however. Thank you very much,
Woo!
But I have no
time. They ain't seen no woman come out in all black with a hammer in her hand, with a Thor hammer. That's what it is. They like a strong woman with a hammer. How many women you see with hammers or hang around with men with hammers? They want you like...
Happy day, everybody.
Like, Layla Silent, all that. See, like Brother Reese, Sharif, that's hearsay until I hear from the people myself. I'm not falling for that. I am not falling for that. Okay, anything else?
Everything is good. We'll see everyone that's a part of Thor University over the weekend, and we'll be back here on Tuesday. Be sure to email debtshow@yahoo.com. Please put Thor University in the subject line. And everyone be well, be blessed, and we will talk to you next time.
Y'all can send your love letters to debtshow@yahoo.com for Layla.
Y'all just make sure that you email us. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, we'll see you Tuesday. And we want to say God bless all of you. Stay prayerful, and we'll see you over the weekend. For those that we don't see over the weekend, we will definitely see you here Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless. Take care.
Bye-bye.